Today's daf is Sanhedrin daf Yutes, and we are 5 lines from the top of daf Yutes Amud Aleph. So we began the second perek in Masechta Sanhedrin, perek Kohen Gadol, which we saw deals with the halachas of a Kohen Gadol and the halachas of a melech. How did it come into Masechta Sanhedrin? Because the first Mishnah at the very end of the Masechta discussed that a Kohen Gadol, in contrast to an ordinary person, if he killed somebody, he wasn't judged by a Beis Din Shel Chaf Gimel, but rather he was judged by the Beis Din Shel Ayin Aleph. He required the Beis Din HaGadol. It was learned out from a pasuk called Hadavar HaGadol Yaviu Eilecha Dvarav Shel Gadol. Hadavar Shel Gadol. But the point is that the Kohen Gadol is different in the way that he's judged. So the Mishnah gave us a whole list of other things where the Kohen Gadol was different than an ordinary person. From Kohen Gadol, we went to Melech. We mentioned, certainly very apropos to be learning this, the week of Tisha B'Av, the week of Shabbos Nachamu, to reflect a little bit about what the world once looked like. A world with the Kohen Gadol, with the Melech Yisrael. But either way, the Gemara is going to continue to dissect the Mishnah that discussed different halachas regarding a Kohen Gadol and a Melech. So the Mishnah said that Meis Loi Meis, if a Kohen Gadol's relative dies, so the halacha is that a Kohen Gadol, in contrast to even a Kohen Hedyot, is not allowed to be Metama, even to one of his Kroiv. It's for that reason he can't participate in the Levaya, because we're concerned that he may be Metama to the Meis. At stating that, the Mishnah said, according to Reb Meir, he is allowed to partake in the funeral procession, as long as there's some hecker, as long as he keeps a certain distance from the corpse, from the mita, from the mace, it would be okay. And the Mishnah described it in detail. Hey nichsin v'hu nigla, hey niglan v'hu nichsa, which Rashi said in short means that he just can't be in the same mavoi, in the same alleyway as the mace. As long as he's one mavoi removed, it would be okay. Rabbi Yehuda argued. Rabbi Yehuda said, "Eine yoytzim en hamikdash." He's not allowed to leave the Beis Hamikdash at all to partake in the funeral. And he learned it from a pasuk. The pasuk says, "Umin hamikdash lo yetzei." Says the Gemara, "Tan rabbanu min hamikdash lo yetzei imahem." Reb Meir understood that it means that he can't participate together with everybody else. He can't just be another member of this levaya. Avol yoytzehu achareim. But he can go as long as he keeps a certain distance. Ketzad, as the Mishnah described, hey nichsin v'hu nigla, hey niglin v'hu nichsav, yoytzead Pesach. The Mishnah said that he's allowed to go up until the Pesach, up until the Shar of the city. Rabbi Yehuda argued. Rabbi Yehuda said, it says, "Umin hamikdash lo yetzei." Straight the Gemara, shat bekamer Rabbi Yehuda luchura. Rabbi Yehuda has a good argument. Rabbi Yehuda is learning it from a pasuk. It says, "Umin hamikdash lo yetzei." That pasuk, by the way, is in the beginning of Parshas Zema, which is in the context that discusses tumas koyanim, and it says clearly that although the koyin hedyot is allowed to be metama to one of his 7 closest relatives, but the koyin gadol was min hamikdash lo yetzei. So at first glance, Rabbi Yehuda was being mavasedra, and he had a raya from a pasuk to his position that the Kohen Gadol cannot partake at all. So freak the Gemara, Shapikom Rab Yehuda, Rab Meir is going to tell you, Ihachi, if you're going to tell me that the pasuk's meant to be understood literally, Umen Amikdash Lo Yetze, then Lebesei Nami Loi, then maybe take it really literally and say that the Kohen Gadol is not even allowed to go home. Doesn't mean he has to live in the Beis HaMikdash. He's never allowed to leave. Ela hachikama. What the pasuk must mean is as follows, said Reb Meir. Min hamikdash lo yetzei, what it means is mikdushas lo yetzei. He shouldn't leave his kedusha. What does that mean? Says Rashi, a geshmaker Rashi, that what the Torah is probably saying is that there's so many azores in the Torah, so many psukim that talk about how a Kohen Gadol has to maintain a certain level of kedusha. Umin hamikdash lo yetzei is another loisase, a general loisase, that tells the Kohen Gadol that being that you have to be so careful, there's so many things you're not allowed to do, I'm giving you a general azara to make a harchakos. So like in Hilchas Nida, there's harchakos. So because there's an Isser Bia with a Nida, so you have a whole siman in Shulchan Aruch that talks about harchakos. Umen amikdash lo yetzei is the harchakos. The Torah is saying that I'm going to give you a general loisase, which means make harchakos. What's an example of harchakos? Don't be in the same mavli together with the mace during the funeral procession, because we're concerned you may go ahead to be mitama. Okay, that's all it means. But v'kimet islay akera, as long as you do something, like a hecker, loy asi laminga, we're not concerned. Rabbi Yehuda was going to tell Reb Meir that even if you're right, even if that's the pshat, umin hamikdash lo yetzei, it means mikdushos lo yetzei, still I believe that the Kohen Gadol should not partake at all in the funeral procession, because agav mirore dilma mikri ba'asi minagi, even if you want mavoi removed, it's not a good enough hecker. I'm concerned the Kohen Gadol is going to jump into the other mavoi, he's going to follow the mace. Remember, this is a person that just lost a very close relative. He's very much bitzar, he's very much ba'avelos, so there's very much a real concern that he may go and jump on top of the mita. It's for that reason that we have to make sure that he keeps the distance. Zok to Gemara, Kishum Menachem. The Mishnah went on to discuss how the Kohen Gadol used to be Menachem people, specifically Shura. So after the Levaya, after the Kfura, there was Shura, where the Menachemim that were present would be Menachem the Avelim. And the Mishnah said that if the Kohen Gadol is being Menachem others, then Derech Kala'am Oivrim B'Zeh HaChazer, the people, but the Menachemim would walk, the Avelim would stand in one place, which is in contrast to the way the Minig is now. We'll see, the Gemara is going to discuss it. But the Kohen Gadol wouldn't walk in the single file line together with all the other people. But rather, he would have his skan, who the Mishnah referred to as the Memuna, Mematzoi Beinoi LeBeinoam. He would stand in between him and everybody else. So you'd have the nation, all the people, the folk, they would be Menachem, walking. The skan would be to the right of the people, and the Kohen Gadol would be the right to the skan. Says the Gemara, Tan Rabbanan, K'shu'ever b'shura l'nachem es'acherim, when the Kohen Gadol is walking in the shura, to be Menachem, the Avelim, skan, u'mashuach sh'over b'mino, he would have the skan, and the mashuach sh'over to his right, v'roish beis of v'avelim v'cholam b'smoiloi, and the Rosh Bezdin, and the Avelim, and everybody else would be to his left. The Shura, when he himself is standing in the Shura, if he's one of the Avelim, skan mimina, the skan would be to his right, and the Rosh Bezdin, and everybody else would be to his left. But the Meshuach She'avar, loy osi gabe. Who's the Meshuach She'avar? That's someone that was a Kohen Gadol for an interim period. So what was the purpose of the Skan Kohen Gadol? Something happened to the Kohen Gadol. So the Skan Kohen Gadol would get up and he would fill his place. What happens now when the Kohen Gadol can come back and resume his position? So the person that was the interim Kohen Gadol doesn't go back to just being an ordinary Skan Kohen Gadol. He gets a special title. He becomes the Meshuach She'avar. So the Meshuach She'avar should not be Menachem Avol, the Kohen Gadol. My time of Choshadaite, Kosover Kachodibi. Because there was a little bit of an animosity, there was a tension between the Kohen Gadol and the Meshuach She'avar, because the Kohen Gadol, when he came back, took the job of Kohen Gadol away from the Meshuach She'avar. So it's a little uncomfortable for the Kohen Gadol to have the Meshuach She'avar come be Menachem Avolim and tell him, Amokim Menachem Eschem, really? You really want me to have Nechama? You really like me? There's a certain tension there, and the Chachamim didn't want that. Either way, so this Braisa elaborated a little bit on the Mishnah, describing the way the Kohen Gadol was Menachem others Bishura, and the way the Kohen Gadol was Misnachem, the way others were Menachem the Kohen Gadol. Amar Papa Shmami No Mahamas Lisa class. I can learn three halachas from the Braisa that we just learned. Shmami No, number one, Hainu Skan, Hainu Memuna. Because the Mishnah described the Memuna standing in between the Kohen Gadol and the Am. The Braisa described the Skan standing in between the Kohen Gadol and the Am. Now, Chur, it's the same person. Must be Skan and Mamun is the same person. So if you go throughout Chas and you find sometimes the Skan Kohen Gadol and sometimes you see the Kohen Gadol's Mamunah, realize it's the same person. Who is it? It's the vice president. That's essentially who he was. So it's the vice president and the Skan and the Mamunah, they both have Shmami. No, the second thing you can learn from this Braisa is Avelim Oimdim V'Cholaham Oivrim, that the way Shura worked is that the Avelim would stand in one place and it was the Menachamim that were Oivrim. You saw that in the Mishnah and you saw that in the Braisa as well. Shmamina, third thing that you see is Avelim L'smoil HaMenachemim Oimdim, that Avelim would stand to the left of the Am. Just based on the way the Braisa described the picture, you see that Avelim were to the left of the Menachem. Tanu Rabbanan, Barishan, Hoya Avelim Oimdim B'Cholam Oimrim. Used to be, once upon a time, the Avelim would stand in one place, and the Am, they would be the ones walking. So it was the Menachemim that were walking. But there were two families in Yerushalayim. Whenever there was a Levaya and a Kfura, they would come and they would fight. Each person wanted to walk first in the Shura. Hiskinu. So the Chachamim made a Takana. We don't want fighting going on now. It's such a difficult time. Someone just died. The Am is going to stand in one place, so there won't be fighting about who walks first. The Avelim Oimrim, and let the Avelim be the ones that are walking. Chaza V'holach V'si Persim and Amar Rami Barabi Hichser Rabbi Yosi as Hadavol Yoishnoi. Rabbi Yosi was Machser Hadavol Yoishnoi B'tzipori. What does that mean? Shiu Avelim Oimdim V'chol Ha'am Oivrim. He reinstated the way it was supposed to be, which is that the Am should be Oivrim. Again, the Gemara said that it used to be Barishoino, the Avelim would stand in one place and the people would walk. But then fighting broke out. So because fighting broke out, the Chacham made a takana that do it in the reverse. But Rabbi Yossi, who was the Rav in Tzipori, he instituted in his own shtetl that the way it should work in Tzipori is the way it used to be, and that is Aveilim Oimdim, V'cholam Oimdim. Amar Rami Bar Abba Hiskar Vesi B'Tzipori, another takana that Rabbi Yossi made in Tzipori, Shloitei Isha Malachas B'Shuk U'Bna Acharel, that a woman should not walk in the street with her son behind her. She should always have her son in front of her, but never behind her. And the reason is, Mishum Maisa Shahoya. Rashi describes the Maisa, that once upon a time, there was a woman, she was walking, her child was behind her. The child was kidnapped. She couldn't find the child. Finally, someone came over to her and says, I know where your child is. They took her into a house somewhere. They brought her to a room, and they violated her. And it all came about because of the fact that she had lost her son and she was so concerned that she did something foolish. She went into this room with these people. So Rabbi Yossi made a takana. Another takana that Rabbi Yossi made in Tzipori, that women, when they're in a Beis Akise, in an outhouse, they should talk to each other. Because if they're going to be quiet, a man may come, not knowing that there are women there, and he's going to come to Yichud, which of course could bring to other Averis. So Rabbi Yossi made a takana that when women are in a Beis Akise, they should be talking so that a man coming will hear that there's a woman there who'll know to stay away. Omar Rav Menashe Bar Ivashila says, Rabbi Yossi Rabba, the Beis Omen do Hutzal. I asked Rabbi Yossi Rabba the following question. I asked it to him in the Beis Olam of Hutzal, Omali, and he told me as follows. In Shura, Pekusim Yasarab and the other. In order to do Shura, there has to be a minion. If you don't have 10 people, there's no Shura. The in Avelim and a minion. And by the way, the Avelim don't count as being part of the minion. Bein Shavelim Oimdim V'cholom Oimrim. Bein Shavelim Oimrim V'cholom Oimdim. And it doesn't matter what the minig of this particular place is. Whether the minig is that the Avelim stand, or the minig is that the Avelim are the ones that walk, it doesn't matter. Regardless of what the minig is, this halach is going to be true. This is absolute. This always holds true, and that is that in Shura Pachos Me'asara. And there's just one final Gemara on this nook. Keshehu Misnache. So the when the Kohen Gadol was Menachem other people, what was the nusach that he used? How would the Kohen Gadol be Menachem other people? So the Mishnah described what people would tell the Kohen Gadol when they were being menachim the Kohen Gadol. But let's say the Kohen Gadol is on the other side. He's being menachim others. Heichi Yomadu, what would he say? Says the Gemara Toshma. V'hu Oimer, and he would say, Tisnachamu. That's what he would say. Heichi Domi, says the Gemara. Ilei mekim menachmi achrini lididei. This price that says that the Kohen Gadol would say Tisnachamu. What are we talking about? We're talking about when people are being menachim him. So the Kohen Gadol is sitting shiva, and a Yid walks in, and he tells the Kohen Gadol, he's menachem him. He gives him chizik. The Mishnah says you would tell him anu kaparascha. So would it make sense that the Kohen Gadol should respond to snachamu? I don't think that's what the menachem wants to hear. You should also have nechama. Amelu iut nachshu karamilu. He's going to walk out spooked. He's going to think Kohen Gadol, so Gadol Adar, just suggested that he's going to need nechama. Does that mean something really bad is supposed to happen to me? He's going to freak out. That's not what he wants to hear. Ella, you know what this brisa must mean? Ki menachem laachrini. When the Kohen Gadol is the one that's being Menachem, Amaluhu, he would say, Tisnacham u'shmami, no. So you see from here the Nusach that was used. And what was the Nusach? The Nusach was Tisnacham. So just a few ha'aras. Number one. So we started today's daf with a machlokes from Meir Rabbi Yehuda. It's really in the Mishnah, discussed more in the Braisa. And that is, if the Kohen Gadol's close relative died, is he allowed to partake in the funeral procession or not? So to be part of it, that's something he certainly wasn't able to do. Remeir says that as long as he keeps a distance, as long as there's a hecker, I'm okay with it. It says mikdushasoy layetze, which means that you have to make some hecker, some harchaka. But as long as there's a harchaka, like you don't stay in the same mavui, that in and of itself would be enough. According to Rabbi Yehuda, no, umina mikdush layetze is more literal. He's not allowed to leave the Beis HaMikdash at all to partake in this funeral procession. The Rambam in Hilchas Klei HaMikdash, Perikei, says something very mysterious. So mysterious that the Kesef Mishnah says, Chipasti, I looked to try to find a makar to this Rambam, and I couldn't find a makar. The Rambam over there is discussing the Kohen Gadol, and he says as follows, Ubayis yiloi mucha mimikdash. Kohen Gadol had a special house, a chamber, in the Beis HaMikdash. V'hiya nekras, lishkas Kohen Gadol. It's what the Chachamim referred to as the Lishkas Kohen Gadol. Ukhvaidoi v'tefartoi shia yoshe b'mikdash kol ha'yoyim. It was considered a big covet for the Kohen Gadol to spend his 9 to 5, to spend as much time as possible in the Beis HaMikdash. For the Yetzei elo l'beisoi, the only place the Kohen Gadol should leave is to his house. B'layla oishah shtayim b'yoyim. And he should go at night, or maybe an hour or two before Shkia. But it would be a covet and a teferis for the Kohen Gadol if he remained in the Beis HaMikdash as long as possible. And then the Rambam concludes, V'yeh Beisoy B'Yerushalayim. The Kohen Gadol was supposed to live in Yerushalayim. The Einoy Zaz Misham. Kohen Gadol can't have a summer house upstate. Kohen Gadol had to live in Yerushalayim. So the Rambam says that Kohen Gadol had a Lishka, known as the Lishka's Kohen Gadol. That's something that the Mishnah already talks about. But says the Rambam, the Kohen Gadol had to live in Yerushalayim. Via Beisai B'Yerushalayim, the Einoy Zaz Misham. He's not allowed to leave Yerushalayim. The Kesef Mishnah says he doesn't know where the Rambam got it from. I can't find a card to this Rambam. It's not a Bavli, it's not a Yerushalmi, it's not a Peres Kayanim, it's not a Sifri. Where in the world did the Rambam get this idea that the Kohen Gadol was not allowed to leave Yerushalayim? Mechas Chinuch in Mitzvah Kuf Lamed Vav says that one of his Talmidim told him perhaps a tremendous makar to this Rambam. There's a Gemara Masechta Sukkah Daf Mem Zayin that says that if a person was going to bring a carbon, someone came to Yerushalayim, he had to bring a carbon, a chatas, an oilah, whatever carbon he had to bring. So the halacha was that you couldn't do a day trip. You couldn't take an early morning flight out in and take the red eye out. You had to come the night before. You had to sleep in Yerushalayim. There was a din lina. You had to sleep in Yerushalayim, you wake up early, you go to the daf, you daven like a mensch, you have a cup of coffee, pashachris, and then you go to the Beis HaMikdash to bring your carbon. But you can't do one of these quick jobs, you come in and out. That was something that was not okay. There was a loch of lina, it's a Gemara Masech to Sukkah, daf mem zayin. So the Talmud of the Michas Chinuch told his Rebbe, he says, I have a beautiful pshat. Because we know the Kohen Gadol used to bring a carbon every single day, the Minchas Chavitin, every single day he had to bring the Minchas Chavitin. If the Kohen Gadol was about carbon every day, it means he had no choice but to sleep in Yerushalayim the night before. If he had to sleep in Yerushalayim, because there's a din lina, maybe that's what the Rambam means. Via base of Yerushalayim. He had to live in Yerushalayim. Not because there's a din he had to live in Yerushalayim, but by default he had to live in Yerushalayim. Because if he's going to have to bring a carbon the next morning, which carbon? The Minchas Chavitin that the Kohen Gadol used to bring every day. Then by definition, what it means is that he's going to have no choice but to sleep in Yerushalayim the night before. But I saw in the Margolis Ayam, Rabbi Ruvi Margolis, he says that maybe I have another makar to this Rambam. Maybe the makar is this Mishnah. The Mishnah said that the Kohen Gadol was allowed to partake in the funeral procession, but up to a point, the Einoy Yoydu Niglev Hu Nichsa the Yoytzei Imoyim at Pesach Sharoir. He can go up to the end of the city. Why at Pesach Sharoir? So if you look at the Yad Ramah says because in order for the Kohen Gadol to partake, he had to follow this cheshbon. Hu Nichsa, the Hei Niglin, he had to make sure that he was a Mavi removed. He says once you go outside the city limits, there's no Mavayas anymore. So if there's no Mavayas anymore, it's going to be very hard for him to have a hacker. But says the Magolus, yeah, it could be it's more than that. It could be the reason is because, like the Rambam says, the Kohen Gadol was confined to a city. You know which city? The city of Yerushalayim. So says the Mishnah that if Kohen Gadol's partaking, sometimes they used to bury the mason outside the city. The Kohen Gadol's Einoy Zaz Misham, he's not allowed to leave Yerushalayim. That's why he can only go at Pesach Sharir. He can go at Pesach Sharir because it's only up to the Pesach Sharir that he's allowed to partake. But once you get beyond the Pesach Sharir, at that point already, he would not be able to partake. But there's another ha'ara, and ha'ara that I think is very much dover be'itay matay. So sometimes the daf just plays itself into everything else going on in the world. And that is, you have here a gemara that discusses when the Kohen Gadol was menachim others, what would he say? And when people would menachim the Kohen Gadol, what he would say? And the Gemara brought a braisa that kim menachim huachrini, when the Kohen Gadol was the one being menachim, what would he say? Tisnachamu. That's what he would say. Very relevant. Erev Shabbos Nachamu. So what he would say is Tisnachamu. That was the nusach that he would use. So I was thinking, number one, today when someone's Menachem Ovel Oyaleinu, so what does he say? Hamokim Yenachem Eschem B'soich Sharev Eilitzim B'Yerushalayim. Why did the Kohen Gadol say that? Why did he say Amoki Minachim Meschem B'Soich Shara Veilat Tziv Yerushalayim? That's a Pilot Shakasha. Because he's the Kohen Gadol. There's a Beis HaMikdash. There's no Shari Tziv. There's no Veilat Tziv Yerushalayim. Today there's no Beis HaMikdash. There's no Kohen Gadol. So today you're Menachem somebody. You say B'Soich Shara Veilat Tziv Yerushalayim. But the Kohen Gadol lived Dafke at the time where there was a Beis HaMikdash. So he said Tisnachamu. It doesn't make sense to say B'Soich Shara Veilat Tziv Yerushalayim. But it's really not so pashut. Because we've spoken out many times the Ritva. The Ritva is Maseches Rosh Hashanah Daf Yud Ches Amud Beis, and the Ritva says that Bizman Bayesheni, there were certain periods of time where the Yidden fasted Tisha B'Av over Churban Bayis Rishon. Doesn't make sense. There's a Beis HaMikdash. What are you fasting Churban Beis HaMikdash if there's a Beis HaMikdash? True, it's Bayesheni, it's not Bayis Rishon. But the Teretz is based on the idea that Bayis Sheni was not Bayis Rishon. And it was never considered a replacement of Bayis Rishon. The Madrigas that existed during Bayis Rishon were much loftier than the Madrigas that existed during Bayis Sheni. And even during Bayis Sheni, the Yidden felt the loss of Bayis Rishon. So much so that they would sit on the floor, and they would say kinnis, and they would read Eicha, they would be Mesa'abel al Churban Beis HaMikdash, al Churban Bayis Rishon. So the truth is, it could be, it would make sense to say, Amokim Yenachem Eschem B'Soich Shara Ve'Litzim V'Yerushalayim, even when there's a Kohen Gadol, Bizman Bayesheni, you're telling this Avil that may you be comforted amongst the mourners of Zion. What does it mean, the mourners of Zion? There is, because of Bayis Rishon, and Bayesheni was never Bayis Rishon, so people were still mourning Bayis Rishon. Even Bizman Bayesheni. That's the Ha'ara. But either way, Tisnachim. So just one Ha'ara, just to put this week's daf and tie it together a little bit with Erev Shabbos Nachmu. And that is that we mentioned earlier in the week that this week's parsha, Parshas Vaschanon, and Moshe Rabbeinu davens to Hashem, Ebron of Ere. He wants to go into Eretz Yisrael. After the Chet of the Meimariv, Hashem told Moshe, you, Aharon, you're not going to enter the land. And Moshe Rabbeinu davens 515 tefillos, Ebron of Ere. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe, there were two tefillos that you davened to me, and both of them you used the word na. You said Ebrona, and you said Slachna. Slachna lavoyna amazek goydul chazdecho. When you asked me to forgive the Dor HaMidbar, after I swore that the Dor HaMidbar would all die in the Midbar, and it's, with the exception of Yeshua Benun and Kol Bifunun, nobody would be able to enter the land. In Yesh Ebrona, in Slachna, in Yesh Slachna, in Ebrona. So we mentioned that obviously which tefillah did Moshe Rabbeinu pick to be answered? He picked Slachna. Because we know that the Dor HaMidbar are going to have kapara loss of love, but Moshe Rabbeinu never entered Eretz Yisrael. And at first glance, it seems like martyrdom on the behalf of Moshe. Because Moshe Rabbeinu is willing to forego his personal agenda, which is he wants to go into Eretz Yisrael on behalf of his people. But the kashya he asked is that the Sfarim say, Chazal, that if Moshe Rabbeinu entered Eretz Yisrael, he would have built the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash would have never been destroyed, and the Yidden would have never gone to Golas. So forget about it from Moshe's personal perspective. From a global perspective, from a Klal Yisrael perspective, it may have made more sense for Moshe Rabbeinu to pick Ebrona, to go into Eretz Yisrael, build the Beis HaMikdash, and we wouldn't have to be in Golas now for 2,000 years. So why was it so poshut? Why was it so poshut to Moshe Rabbeinu to pick Slachna versus Ebrona, even from the Klal Yisrael perspective? You can easily argue that would have made more sense to pick Ebrona versus Slachna. So earlier in the week, we spoke at a teretz from Shmuel Yankiv, but I was thinking another teretz, and that is based on a Rashi in Mesechtes Kedushin, Daf Lamed Aleph on the base. Rashi over there quotes a Chazal. David HaMelech said in Tehillim, Mizmar La'asif, Elikim bo goyim benachla secha, timu es hechel kodshecha, samu es Yerushalayim li'im. David HaMelech didn't build the Beis HaMikdash. David HaMelech set the foundation of the Beis HaMikdash. His son Shlomo HaMelech was the one that built the Beis HaMikdash. But David HaMelech saw Beruach HaKodesh that one day the Beis HaMikdash that his son Shlomo would build would be destroyed. Bo goyim benachla secha, timu es hechel lecha, samu es Yerushalayim li'im. And when David HaMelech saw that Beruach HaKodesh, he took out his harp, and he started playing music. He sang Shira, Mizmar La'asaf, Elikim Bo Goyim Benachal Asecha. And ask Chazal, Mizmar La'asaf, Kinami Baya. Is that a time to play music? That's a time to sit on the floor, egg, ashes, and cry and mourn. Why would David HaMelech sing Shira? Say Chazal, because David HaMelech knew the Yidden were going to do Averis. And he was afraid that Hashem would let out his anger, his frustration on Klal Yisrael. But when he saw that, rather than let out his anger on Klal Yisrael, Hashem was going to let out his anger on Eitzim Va'avonim, on bricks and mortar, he sang Shira. Because it meant that no matter how bad the situation is, no matter how low Klal Yisrael falls, but Klal Yisrael is going to always have a Hemshach. Because in the worst case scenario, Hashem will destroy the Beis HaMikdash. But Hashem is never going to destroy Klal Yisrael. And it's for that reason that he said, Mizmar La'asaf. The Vilna Gaon says that we say Nachem on Tisha B'Av during Mincha. You don't say it by Shachris, you say it by Mincha. It says the Gaon in Bir HaGro, but L'shoinai Hazav. Why is it? Says the Gaon, two Mar Makoimus. He sends you to the end of Masechtas Tainus that says that when did the Beis HaMikdash begin to burn? It was on Tisha B'Av, but it was in the afternoon. It was Mizman HaMincha Ve'elach. And then he sends you to this Rashi over here, Kedusha Lamed Aleph on the base. What's the word? That being that the Beis HaMikdash began to burn on Tisha B'Av in the afternoon, Mincha time, it's for that reason you say Nachem, Mincha time. Because in Churban Beis HaMikdash, licked Nechama. What's the Nechama? That in the worst case scenario, Hashem will only destroy the Beis HaMikdash. But Klal Yisrael will exist forever. Churban Beis HaMikdash, on the one hand, is Churban. Kishmoy kachi, it represents destruction. But at the same time, it represents nachamu, nachamu ami. It represents nechama. Because in Churban Beis HaMikdash, you see a silver lining. The silver lining is that shloyich b'neiro eloi levod. That Hashem, if he gets angry, what's he going to let his anger out on? On Eitzav HaMadam. And that's why David HaMelech said Shira. Had Moshe Rabbeinu entered Eretz Yisrael, the Beis HaMikdash would never have been destroyed. Would that have necessarily been a good thing? I'm not sure. I don't know if it would have been a good thing. If Klal Yisrael would have never done Averos, and it's for that reason the Beis HaMikdash would have never been destroyed, it's a good thing. But maybe Klal Yisrael would have done Averos, and Hashem would not have had the outlet, the option of destroying the Beis HaMikdash. What would Hashem have done? He would have no choice but to let his anger out on Klal Yisrael. That's not a good thing. Because David HaMelech, when he saw Churban Beis HaMikdash, he sang Shira. Because he realized that it's better that Hashem let out his anger on Eitzim Avonim than let out his anger on Klal Yisrael. So Moshe Rabbeinu was faced with this decision. Ebrona, do I enter the land and build a Beis HaMikdash? You know what that means? Beis HaMikdash will never be destroyed. Or maybe no, maybe Slachna. So maybe Moshe said, I don't want Ebrona. I don't want the Beis HaMikdash to not be able to be destroyed. Because if Hashem will not be able to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, he'll have no choice but to let out his anger. And there'll be a Churban in Klal Yisrael. A Churban much greater than was, and that's not necessarily a good thing. Because in Churban Beis HaMikdash, there's actually a glass half full. And that is you have the idea of Mizmor La'asaf, you have the idea of Nechama, and I think that a way that we can all relate to this somewhat is when you look at Holocaust survivors. Right, you look at a Holocaust, a Holocaust survivor. The Holocaust survivors represent really two things. They represent Churban. You look at them and you're reminded of the horrible Churban that took place 70, 75 years ago. But at the same time, when you look at a Holocaust survivor, they represent invincibility. They represent the eternity of Klal Yisrael. They represent the fact that it doesn't matter what happens, it doesn't matter how big a monster gets up, how powerful his army is, how much the great nations of the world want to turn a blind eye, it doesn't matter. Klal Yisrael can never be defeated. And that's represented in the Holocaust survivor. The survivor represents two things. He represents destruction. He brings you back to Poland 1939. But at the same time, he also takes you to a place where you realize that Klal Yisrael is invincible. And Klal Yisrael cannot be taken down. And said the Vilna Gaon, Churban Beis HaMikdash represented the same thing. On the one hand, Churban Beis HaMikdash Tisha B'Av, it represents Churban. But at the same time, it also represents Nachamu, Nachamu, Ami, Yomer Lekechem. It also represents Nechama. Because the truth is that in Churban Beis HaMikdash, you see that Hashem is always going to find an angle. He's going to find a way to make sure Klal Yisrael is going to continue to exist. He'll destroy the Beis HaMikdash. Hashem will do whatever he needs to do. Hittel, Chamasei, Al Itzav Avonim. But never on Klal Yisrael. But the point, as it relates to Ebrona, could be that's the reason that Moshe Rabbeinu chose Slachna. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't choose Ebrona. Zokt de Gemara weiter. Melech loy don. So the Mishnah said that the Kohen Gadol was done for don anoisai, but the Melech loy don. He couldn't be a member of a bezdin for loy don anoisai. I'm Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef said loy chon al Malchi. So this is only true for the Malchi Yisrael. Aval Malchi Beis David. A lot more fun to come, by the way. But the Malchi Beis David don the don anoisai. So the Malchi Yisrael, they couldn't be dayonim, but the Malchi Beis David, yeah. So who were the Malchi Yisrael and the Malchi David? So after Shlomo HaMelech died, his son Rechavam became Melech. But a lot of people didn't like Rechavam. And there was a movement to form another nation within Klal Yisrael. The leader of that nation, leader of that group, was Yeravam ben Nevat, and Klal Yisrael was divided into two groups. You had the Yerachavam, who was the king of two Shvatim, Yehuda and Binyamin. You had Yeravam ben Nevat, who became the king of all the other nations, eventually the Aseres HaShvatim, right? These were the 10 other tribes. They're the ones that end up going into Golas, and horrible things happened to them. They became Ovdei Avodah Zarah. But the Malchi Yisrael, the Malchi Beis David, they were two separate groups within Klal Yisrael. So said Rabbi Yosef, this Mishnah that says the Melech is Loidon V'Loidon in Oisai, Loimeid V'Loimeid in Oisai, that's the Malchi Yisrael. Avo, the Malchi Beis David, Don V'Don in Oisai. It's a pasuk. Beis David, Koyamar Hashem, Dinu LaBoiker Mishpat. It says that they can judge. And once you know they could judge, it must be they can be judged. V'Oksiv, like the Gemara said, yesterday's daf, his that if you could judge, it must be you could be judged. And we know that the Malchi based David can judge. It's a pasuk based David, Koyamar Hashem, Dinu, Laboiker, Mishpat. So if we know they can judge, it must be they could be judged as well. Says the Gemara, Elo Malchi Yisrael, my time alone. Okay. So if there's a pasuk that says that the Malchi based David could judge, then why could the Malchi Yisrael not judge? It's because of the following story. The Avdi the Yani Malka Kotel Nafsha. Because the Eved of Yanai HaMelech once killed somebody. We have to judge the Eved. I know he's the Eved of the king. And as far as slaves go, he's sort of a VIP kind of slave. It doesn't matter. He killed somebody. We have to judge him. So they sent a message to Yanai HaMelech. Your slave killed somebody. So he sent him to him. Shochulei, then they sent him again. Ton and Nabi Lacha. No, Yanai, you're not getting it. You have to come here too. Why? Because Behuad Bevailov Amra Torah. Because it says in the Torah, Behuad Bevailov, which means Yoveh Balashar, Ve'yamad Al Shari. The Lacha is if somebody Shar killed somebody, he shtoist and he killed. So we still judge the Shar. But not only do we judge the Shar, the owner of the Shar had to be present at the time that they were judging the Shar. It's learned out from a pasuk. Vuhuad Vevailov, Yavai Balashar, Vyamad Al Shayre. So they told Yanai HaMelech, the same is true regarding an Eved. Your Eved killed somebody. You have to be present when we prosecute your Eved. So the Gemara says, Asavi Yosef. So Yanai HaMelech listened to the Chachamim. He came. Amale Shimon Ben Shetach. So Shimon Ben Shetach said, Yanai HaMelech, Amoidal Raglech B'Yudubacha. Stand up, Yanai. Please rise. Because there are two Edom here that are going to testify about your shar, and you have to be about your Eved, and you have to be standing during this testimony. And then he told him, realize that even though you're a king, so you're going to think it doesn't pass for you to stand up. You're not really standing up for us. You're standing before Hashem. And really, it's the end of the pasuk. Lifnei Hashem, we know Hashem is present in the courtroom, so you're not standing up for us, you're standing up for Hashem. Amalesi told him, I don't care what you have to say. He turns to the Sanhedrin and he says, I'm more curious to hear what everybody else has to say. Nifli Aminat, Yanai HaMelech turns to his right, and the Dayanim over there, they were afraid of Yanai HaMelech, they were intimidated. So they put their face down, making believe that they're deep in thought, trying to figure out what's going on over here, but they made believe they didn't see Yanai HaMelech. Nifli Aminat, he turned to his left, they did the same thing. Tells the Sanhedrin, really? You're so deep in thought? You're Balei Machshoveis? Yovei Bal Machshoveis V'yiporim Michem. Let the Bal Machshoveis come and let him punish you. Miyad Bo Gavriel. Gavriel came V'choftem B'karka. He knocked them to the ground. Umesu, and they died. But Oysa Shah, at that moment, Amru, they said, Melech so the reason you can't judge a melech is because of this maiseshay, this horrible story that happened where Yanai HaMelech was being judged. He didn't want to stand in the courtroom. The Sanhedrin were intimidated from him. Gavriel comes. He kills all the members of the Sanhedrin. This horrible story that takes place over here. And they said, this is too dangerous. It's too dangerous to bring a melech in. But they only instituted it for the Malchei Yisrael. They didn't institute it for the Malchus Beis David. Now, Yanai HaMelech came from the Chashminah. He wasn't a member of the Malchei Beis David. He was a member of the Malchei Yisrael. Incidentally, it's Gemara Masechtas Brachas, Daf Chav Tes Amud Aleph, Abaye Verava, where Abaye said that you know who Yanai HaMelech was? Hashtag rest of the story. You know Yanai HaMelech? He was Yoichan Kohen Gadol. He was Yoichan Kohen Gadol. In fact, there's Gemara Masechtas Kedushan, Daf Samach Vav Amud Aleph, that says that Yanai was the Kohen Gadol. The Gemara over there says that Yanai killed all the members of the Sanhedrin, with the exception of one person, his brother-in-law. Shimon ben Shetach. That's why Shimon ben Shetach is mentioned over here in this Gemara. He was the one person that wasn't killed. So these are Gemaras in different places. Brachas Memches, Kedushin Samach Vav, Brachas Chavtes. But either way, Yane HaMelech, who was from the Chashmeinon, he was from the Malchi Yisrael. The story happened with him. That's why they instituted it for Malchi Yisrael. They didn't institute it for Malchi Beis David. Incidentally, it bothered me a little bit. So why didn't they extend the Takana to the Malchi Beis David? So you'll tell me maybe because the Malchi Yisrael were more corrupt. It's true to a degree, but there were a lot of Malchi Beis David that were very, very corrupt. Menashe was the one that brought the Tzelem into. There were Malchi Beis David that were corrupt as well. Just read Sefer Melachim. So why was it that they instituted it only for the Malchi Yisrael, not for the Malchi Beis David? I was thinking that maybe the Tzushtal is the Taz, the famous Taz. The Taz says that even though the Chachamim have a right to make takanas, but they can never be Oikur Dovim in a Torah. If there's a pasuk that says something explicitly, they don't have a right to be Yoikur. The Taz said it to answer a lot of kashas. Right, how come we blow Shofar on Rosh Hashanah? You don't blow Shofar on Shabbos. Shema Yavri and Odal Hamas Pashas Aram. So don't blow Shofar on Rosh Hashanah either. Because Shema Yisak and Klishir. The Taz is kasha. Why is Mila, Deicha, Shabbos? Why don't we make Gzera, Shema Yavri Renu? You may carry the baby. Or you may carry the Izemel, the knife. The Taz famously said to answer all these kashas, because even though the Chum have a right to be Oikar, a Dovim, and a Torah, but not a Mefurish apostle. If there's something Mefurish in the Pasuk, it says you blow Shofar in Rosh Hashanah. Chum can't make a takana to tell you not to blow Shofar in Rosh Hashanah. It says that Milas Deicha Shabbos, whatever the Makar is, but it's a Pasuk. Milas Deicha Shabbos. Chum don't have a right to make a takana to tell you not to do Bris Milah on Shabbos. It says, Beis David, Koyam Hashem, Dinu La Boiker Mishpah. It's a Pasuk. But the Pasuk is talking to Beis David. Beis David. Then the Malche Beis David. So the Malche Beis David, you couldn't make a takana. Say loydan v'loydan and oisai. It's a pasuk. And if it's a mefurish pasuk, you can't make a takana. It doesn't matter what happened. You can't be oiker a dover mefurish b'tayra. That's the Taz's Yisai that he says in a bunch of places. But Malchi Yisrael doesn't say it anywhere. It says Beis David. It doesn't say regarding Malchi Yisrael. Oh, Malchi Yisrael is not mefurish anywhere in the pasuk. Then maybe you have a right to do that. Loy choylets v'loy chaltzim. So this already we spoke about last night. The Mishnah said that loy choylets, the melech couldn't do chalitza. V'loy chaltzim le'ishta, you couldn't do chalitza to the melech's wife. Why loy choylets? Because v'yarka b'fana, part of the chalitza process is that the Yavama would spit at the person doing chalitza. And for the melech, it's ein lefi chvoide. Why loy chaltzim le'ishta? Because she anyways can't get married. Why can't she get married? Because no one's allowed to marry the almana of a melech. So if she anyways can't get married, Rashi said, what's the point in doing chalitza? Shtal datzu to the Chacham Tzvi, Siman Aleph. So this is Ray that we spoke about last time. But either way, says the Gemara, Eini, I don't understand. Meaning, in the Mishnah, it was a machloikis. In the Mishnah, the Chachamim said, Loi Chaylitz, Rabbi Yehuda said that if the Melech wants to do chalitza, zocher latoiv, it's wonderful. So the Gemara is asking on Rabbi Yehuda. For Amar Rav Ashi said, even according to Mandama that says that a nasi is allowed to be meichel akvoidai, but Melech shemachel akvoidai ain't kvoidai machel. A Melech can never be meichel akvoidai. Shenema saim tosim alecha Melech. Shetei masa alecha. So it's from a pasuk. But the point is, the Melech can't be meichel akvoidai. So how could Rabbi Yehuda say that if the Melech wants to be chaylit? Zochur Latoiv. What happened to the halacha that a melech shemachal al kvoidai ain't kvoidai machal? And the Gemara answers mitzvah shani. It's true, melech shemachal al kvoidai ain't kvoidai machal. But that's for something frivolous. But when it comes to a dvar mitzvah, there it's going to be different. There's some raid here, but it's getting late early, so we're going to have to pick that up another day. The Mishnah continued, and the Mishnah said, the ein noisin. Almanasa. You're not allowed to marry the almana of a melech. And it's something that we're going to discuss on Daf Chabez. It's going to come up later. But the halach is that you're not allowed to marry the almana of a melech. Pashup Shad is because once a woman was married to the king, she's sharvita shel melech. It's inappropriate for her to now go ahead and be married to another man, to an ordinary person. It's like a mirid b'malchus almost, that somebody is living with the king's wife. Ein noisin al menosay shel melech. Rabbi Yehuda argued. Rabbi Yehuda said it's true. An ordinary person can't marry the almana of a melech. But a melech, noisay ha-melech al menosay shel melech. And he said, I'll prove it to you from Nach. Shekei matzino b'david. Shenosa al menosay shel shol. Shenemar ve'et nolchaz beis adinecho. Ves neshei adinecho b'chei kecha. Tan. Amulei the Rabbi Yehuda. They told Rabbi Yehuda, this pasuk that you have, that seems to suggest that a melech is allowed to marry the almana of a melech. Where do you see that? Because David a melech married, seemingly, the wives of Shaul HaMelech. You're making a mistake, Rabbi. That's not what the pasuk means. It doesn't mean that he married Shaul's wives. What he means is Nashim Haru'uyosloi mi Beis HaMelech. He married women from the king's house, but women that he was allowed to marry. Meaning, he couldn't marry the king's almana because he's not allowed to marry the king's almana. So that's not what that pasuk is referring to. It's referring to women from Shaul HaMelech's house that were mutter for David to marry. Who were they? Merav and Michal. It was Shaul HaMelech's two daughters, Merav and Michal. Really, in order to understand from here until the end of the daf, you have to have a little bit of background, a little bit of Navi, and we're going to have to learn a few psukim in Shmuel Aleph, Perek Yudches. The context over there is right after David HaMelech slays Goliath. He kills Goliath. So David HaMelech kills Goliath. Nobody was able to defeat him. David HaMelech did. And after David HaMelech kills Goliath, David gets a tremendous covet. And that's where the pasuk picks up. It's Shmuel Aleph, Perik Yudches, pasuk Vav. Says the pasuk, Vayhi bevoyom, b'shuv David mehakos es haplishti. It was after David HaMelech had killed the plishti, Goliath. Vateitzena hanoshim mikol eri Yisrael, loshir v'amecholeis likra shol HaMelech betupim b'simcho v'shlishim. And all the women of Klal Yisrael came out. They're playing instruments and they're singing for the soldiers, for the troops that just came back from war. Vatanena hanoshim. And the women sang the following song. Hika Shaul Balofov. Shaul, who was the king, killed thousands. The David, Briva Voisov. David HaMelech killed tens of thousands. Vayichal l'shol moit. Shaul HaMelech hears this song and was very angry. Vayera b'enav ha-dover hazeh. Vayoymer, and he said, Nosnu l'David revavois. David HaMelech killed tens of thousands. V'li nosnu alofen, and I only killed thousands. David HaMelech's getting more covered than me. I'm the king. V'oid lo yacham lucha. I see already where this is going. David is already bigger than me. All he needs is the crown. Once he has the crown, I'm oiskaplech macher. Vayehi, the pasuk says, Shaul oyein es David. David. Rashi says, Oyin means Ayin Ra. Shaul HaMelech had an Ayin Ra, Me'ayoy Mahu from Allah. From that day forward, Shaul HaMelech was angry, jealous, Ayin Hara of David. He was upset that David HaMelech was getting all this covet for killing Goliath, more covet than he was getting. Says the Pasuk. Vayihi David l'chol drach of maskil v'ashem imoy. David HaMelech had continued success. Vayar Shaul Asher hu maskil moed. And the more Shaul HaMelech saw the success that David HaMelech was having, vayogam mipon him, he started getting afraid of him. V'chol Yisrael v'Yehuda oyeh this David. And David HaMelech's popularity was soaring because he was the commander-in-chief. He's going out, he's fighting wars, he's winning wars on behalf of the people. So Shaul HaMelech comes to David, he tells him as follows, I want to make you an offer. I want to offer my daughter, Merav, my oldest daughter, for you as a wife. You'll be the son-in-law of the king. Ach, but this is the condition. Heyeli the ben chayil. I want you to be an officer of my army. Vehiloche mochames Hashem. And you should fight the words of Hashem. Veshol Omar. What was Shaul's cheshbin? His cheshbin was that he'll put David HaMelech on the front lines. And eventually, David HaMelech is going to get killed. And like this, he'll be done with David. Shaul couldn't stand David. So he figured, I'll get him to fight on the front lines, but how's he going to get David to fight on the front lines? He offers him his daughter, Merav, you'll marry my daughter. Everybody wants to marry the daughter of the king. And like this, it'll be perfect. But David turns to Shaul and he says, who am I? I'm not someone, I'm a poor shepherd. I'm someone that's worthy of being a son-in-law by the king, says the Pasuk. And this is the first mysterious Pasuk in this context of mysterious psukim that we're about to see. It was at that time that Shaul gave Merav, his daughter, to David. He also gave her La'adriel ha'mecholasi le'isha. So Shaul ends up giving his daughter Merav to David as a wife, but at the same time, he gives her to somebody else. He gives her to Adriel ha'mecholasi. Vatev Micha Bashol. Then the pasuk continues that Shaul HaMelech had another daughter. Her name was Michal, and Michal loved David. Vayagidu l'Shaul, they told Shaul, and Michal likes David HaMelech. Vayisha David Beinav, and Shaul was very happy what he heard. Vayoyim Shaul, and Shaul goes to David, and he says, "Enenaloi with Hilai l'Maikesh, I have an idea. Let me give this daughter Michal to David, and let her be the stumbling block for David. How so? Usihi b'yad plishtin, because that will force him to go now on the front lines and get killed by the plishtin. Vayoyim Shaul or David. So Shaul comes to David, and this is the second mysterious pasuk. B'shtayim tischatim b'yayoyim. I want to give you two daughters of mine to marry. I'm going to give you two daughters of mine to marry. Meirav, who he subsequently gave to Adriel, Hamachelosi Leisha, and I'm going to give you Michal. By Yitzav Sholas Avoda Dabro David Balot Leimar Hine Chofitz Bucha Melech the Chol Avodav Ahevucha the Ato Hischatim Bamelech. By Dabro Avdei Shol Bozni David. So Shol's people go to David Amelech and they make this proposal. By Yomer David, but David said no, absolutely not. He said, how can I marry the king's daughter? Vanoichi Ish Rosh Veniklo. By Yagidu Avdei Shol Leimar Kadvor Meilo Diber David. By Yomer Shol Koy Sarmilu David. This way you should tell David. Ein Chefetz Amelech Umay. So what are you worried about? You're a poor person. So what? So you can't bring a trust fund into the marriage? That's what you're worried about? You worried that you can't bring a big nadin? Do I look like I need your money? I don't need your money. You want to marry my daughter? Instead of bringing a nadin, this is what you should give her. Meya Arlois Plishtin. Go get 100, literally, foreskins of Philistines. Lehinokim Boibe Amelech. Take revenge from the enemy of the king. What was Shaul's cheshbon? His cheshbon was, how's he going to get Meya Arlois Plishtin? He's going to have to fight the Plishtin. This is going to be real hand-to-hand combat. And he's going to end up getting killed. This is all perfect. This is playing out exactly the way Shaul wants it to play out. David was convinced. David got up. And he brought back to Shaul. Not 100 Meya Arlois Plishtin, but Messiah, he brought back 200 Arlois. Vayove David as Arlois say. Vayamalu Mamelech, Leschatim Mamelech, Vayitin Loshol as Michal Bita Elisha. And Shol Amelech goes and he gives his daughter Michal to David as a wife. Vayar Shol Vayedek Yashemim David, Michal Bashola Havesle. But things continue to get worse for Shol because David stayed alive. His popularity continued to rise, and not just that, his beloved daughter Michal loved David so much, and that bothered him even more. Vayosef Shol Leiroi Mipnei David Oid Vayishol. Again, reading the words, you have to understand Nach, but the words Oyev as David Kol Hayom, he hated David all the years. And then finally, we all know the rest of the story. Vaydaber Shol Yonas and Benoiv Al Kol Avodav Lahamis as David. Shol gets together with his people, his son Yonasan, who we know, of course, loved David very much. And he tells them that, I want to kill David. That's it. I just can't deal with this anymore. I'm trying to set him up. May Arlois Plishtim. He brings back 200 Arlois Plishtim. I'm going to take matters into my own hand. I want to kill David. Yonasan quickly tells David, you know, my father wants to kill you. Go hide. So Michal helps David hide, and they hide from Shaul. And one thing leads to another. And of course, at the end, David makes it out alive. And there's so many kapitlach tilim that talk about David and Melech running away from Shaul. And it all plays itself out in this context because Shaul couldn't forgive almost that David has all this popularity, and that's the short version of the story with Shaul and David HaMelech. But there's one other pasuk that we have to see before we start the Gemara, and that's many prokem later. It's still in Shmuel Aleph. It's Perek Chafei Pasuk Mem Dalet. V'Shaul Nasan As Michal Bitay Eshes David LePalti Ben Laish Asher Migalim. So after Shaul HaMelech gave his daughter Michal to David as a wife, Shaul took Michal, Eshes David, and gave her to another man. She's an Eshes Esh. Gave her to another man. And who was that other man? Palti ben Laish, Asher Migalim, who came from the city Galim. So David, Shaul HaMelech gave David two of his daughters, Meirav and Michal. After he gives Meirav, what does the pasuk say? He takes Meirav and gives Meirav afterwards to Adriel, to this Yid Adriel. So he gives it to David, but at the same time, Adriel HaMachilasi gets it. And then he gives her Michal, and he takes the daughter Michal, and gives Michal to Palti ben Laish. So how in the world is Shaul HaMelech taking his daughters that are Eshes Ish and giving them to another man? That's the first plea. That makes absolutely no sense when you read this psukim. V'oid, that one pasuk that we saw earlier, where Shaul HaMelech tells David, I'm going to give you two of my daughters today. Two of my daughters? This is Achos Isha 101. Yaakov Avinu married two sisters. Yeah, that was before Matan Torah. But this is L'Acha Matan Torah. How in the world is David HaMelech married to Meirav and Michal at the same time? Aren't they both sisters? And that's exactly where this Gemara picks up. Says the Gemara, Shol Talmidim as Rabbi Yossi. The Talmidim of Rabbi Yossi Bar Chalafto asked Rabbi Yossi. By the way, Rabbi Yossi Bar Chalafto, in addition to being a great Tana, Rabbi Yossi Nemukta, Allah is always like Rabbi Yossi, the father of the Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, also one of the greatest Tana. This is for Arya. But Rabbi Yossi Bar Chalafto was also the author of the Seder Olam. The Seder Olam is the first history work ever written. See, it's not a coincidence. If you know a little bit of color about Tanam and Amiran, you know some of the history, it enriches a lot of the Gemaras that you learn. So the Talmidim of Rabbi Yossi asked Rabbi Yossi a question about Novi. It's not a coincidence. Why didn't the Talmidim of some other Tana ask their Rebbe? Because that wasn't their expertise per se. Rabbi Yossi Bar Chalafta was the historian of his generation. There were different Gedolim that were also great historians. The Malbim, the Barbanel, of course, the Seder Hadoris, Josephus, which is, of course, a little bit more controversial, who exactly Josephus was. The Barbanel says he was Rabbi Yossi HaKoyen, who's mentioned in the Mishnah Perkei Avos. But either way, the point is that Rabbi Yossi Bar Chalafta, who's a great historian, his Talmidim asked him this question, right? It's not a coincidence. Heich nasa David shtei achayos. How did David HaMelech marry two sisters, Bichayeim, while they were both alive? He married Michal and Meirav. Abba Lahems, Rabbi Yossi told him, Michal acha misas Meirav nasa. He married Meirav first, clearly in the Pesukim. Then Meirav died, and after Meirav died, it was afterwards that he married Michal. And Achayis Isha is an erva that's mutter, after the one sister dies. And he didn't marry both of them at the same time. At the same time, it wouldn't have been okay. Reb Shuban Karchem said a different shot. He said, Kedushei Toyos Hoyle B'Meirav. Really, there was a Kedushei Toyos B'Meirav. And this is the way you can understand everything going on over here. Shenema, the Pasuk says, Tanois Ishti Es Michal Asher Elastili B'Meir Arlos Plishon. This is another Pasuk, where David HaMelech refers to his wife, Michal. My Talmudah Amar HaPapa, Michal Ishti V'Le Meirav Ishti. It's not from the Pasuk that only Michal Bashol was his wife. Meirav Bashol really wasn't his wife. In the Pasuk, it sounds like Shaul gave Meirav and Michal, both daughters, but he gave Meirav to a wife. The teretz is, it was a kedushei toys, said Rabbi Shaul ben Karcha. My kedushei toys, what was the toys? Dichsev, because the pasuk says, v'hoyo ha'ish asher yakenu, whoever is going to hit, kill Goliath, Yashrenu HaMelech Eich HaGadol. This is Pesukim before we started. Where Shaul HaMelech said, there was a bounty put on Goliath's head, that anybody that kills Goliath is going to get Eich HaGadol, not just that, he'll get to marry the king's daughter. Azal Kotle, David HaMelech was the one that killed Goliath. Amaloi. So Shaul HaMelech told David, when they discussed marrying Meirav, Milva Isli Gaboy, I owe you money. So go ahead and be Mekadesh, my daughter Meirav, with the money that I owe you. Why'd Shaul owe David money? Because David was the one that killed Goliath. And that was the deal. That whoever's going to kill this person, Yashrenu HaMelech, Oysher Godel. So David HaMelech was Mekadesh Meirav. This is where the lumdus comes in. He was Mekadesher with the milva, with the money that Shaul owned. But we know that a Mekadesh B'milva ain't a Mekadeshes. It's not a good Kedushin. This is Kedushin 101. Mekadesh B'milva. That's why it was a Kedushin toy. So the Kedushin with Meirav never really happened. Being that it never happened, that's how you understand the Pasuk. Ozo Yoavei Ladriel. That's how Shaul was able to now take Meirav after he gave her to David and now give her to another man. We ask, does it make sense? She's an Eishes Ish. The teretz is, she wasn't an Eishes Ish because the kedushin with David really never happened. The chesiv, as the pasuk says, "Vahi be'ez teses Meirav Ashol leDavid v'goymer amalei." So after David HaMelech realizes that he's not married to Meirav because he was a mekadesh b'milva, and mekadesh b'milva in a mekudeshes, and instead of Meirav being married to David, who she married to? Adriel amalei. So Shaul says, if you want, I'll give you Michal. But zil aisili mei arlos plishtim. You have to bring me 100 arlos plishtim. The Ben Yoyada says that maybe the reason 100 is because the gematria of Michal is 100. He says some nice things over there. But either way, azal aisile. So David HaMelech goes, he didn't bring 100, he brought 200. Amalei. So Shaul HaMelech told David, milva upruta islach gaboy. There's really two considerations here for marriage. Number one, I owe you money. I owe you the Eishes Gadol. So Shaul HaMelech got terms. You think he killed Goliath, it'd be COD. Cash on delivery. David needed a better lawyer, I think. But no, he got terms. He's paying him 180 days. He still hasn't gotten paid. So he says, I owe you all this money. But at the end, you just gave me a pruta. You gave me $100 plishtim, which is shavah pruta, right? Isha niknas bekesef. It's worth money. So Shaul Savar, Shaul held, Milva Upruta Daite Amilva. That when David HaMelech was now Mekadesh Michal, he was probably Mekadesh with the Milva. Because if a man could be Mekadesh a woman with either 100 Philistine foreskins or with this loan, this debt that's worth millions of dollars, which one did he probably think? Probably the Milva. So Shaul HaMelech thought that David probably had in mind to be Mekadesh with the Milva. So it's Viter Mekadesh B'Milva, so the Kedushin with Michal's not Chal, just like the Kedushin with Meirav wasn't Chal. But David thought he was married to Michal. That's why David lived with Michal. Because David thought Milva Upruta, Daita Upruta. If he knew Mekadesh B'Milva is in a Mekudeshes, why was he Mekadesh Meirav B'Milva? I'm not sure. But at least he knows now Mekadesh B'Milva in a Mekudeshes. Or at the very least, Daitei HaPruta, his Kavana is the Pruta, and it's for that reason that Iba Yisayim, the Kuli Alma Milva, Pruta, Daitei HaPruta, could be both Shaul and David knew that when someone's Mekadosh b'milva u'pruta, really his kivun is the pruta, but Shaul Sava l'chazav l'midi, Shaul thought 100 foreskins of, what's the word, not even worth the pruta. V'davet Sava, no, chazav l'kalva v'shinri, you can, you know, it can make a few meals for dogs and cats. Bottom line is, so now what happens is there ends up being a dispute between David and Shaul, whether David is married to Michal or David's not married to Michal. Now Shaul thinks that David's not married to Michal. And that's pshat and that pasuk later in Perikafei, v'shaul nasan es Michal b'sayeshes David, l'palti ben layesh ha'ashem migal. But David's going to live with Michal, and being that David's living with Michal, it's for that reason, it's because he thinks he's married. Ay, mekadosh b'milv, no. It was Makadosh Bepruta. What was the Pruta? The Mayor of the Splishnin. It was worth at least a Pruta. Why is the word a Pruta? Because it's Chazir, the Kalbe, the Shunri. And even though there's also a Milva, but Milva, Pruta, Daita, Pruta, and that's why they were married. We began with the Talmidim asked Rabbi Yossi. If you read the Psukim, it sounds like David was married to two sisters. He was married to Merav, and then he was married to Micha. You're not allowed to marry two sisters. Achoy Sishtoi. It's one of the Chameshes Reinoshim. It's an Erf. The Teretz is, Rabbi Yossi said, he wasn't married to them at the same time. He married Merav, Merav died, and then he married Michal. Shua ben Karcha said that the marriage with Merav wasn't a real marriage, it was a Kedushei Tois. Why was it a Kedushei Tois? Because he was a Mekadosh b'milva. What was the milva? The money that Shaul owed him. This bounty that he was supposed to get for killing Goliath. The bottom line is two terutzim, how it was possible for David HaMelech to be able to be married to Merav and Michal. Another thing we saw is that Shaul was of the opinion that not only was David not married to Merav, because that was Mekadosh B'milva, but his marriage to Michal was also a marriage of Mekadosh B'milva, and he wasn't married to Michal either. Says the Gemara of Rabbi Yossi, who says that really David married both sisters. He married Michal and he married Merav. Hi, Tneas Ishtias Michal by Darish Bey. Rabbi Shua ben Karcha had a pasuk. The pasuk said, "My wife Michal." It sounds like only Michal was a wife, not Merav. Zok the Gemara. Rabbi Yossi le Tameitz. Rabbi Yossi le Shitas. And we learned to the price. Rabbi Yossi, you Darish Mikrois Murav. Rabbi Yossi, you stole. Scramble and unscramble psukim in Nach. Ksiv, the pasuk says, "Vayikach Hamelach Hashnei Bnei Ritzba Basiyah Asher Yodu L'Shol Es Armoni Ves Mepiboishes Ves Chameshes Bnei Michal Asher Yodu L'Adriel Hamecholasi." So the pasuk over there talks about the sons of Michal who was married to Adriel. Now, if you're halting cup, who did Adriel marry? Which one of Shaul's daughters? Merav. Shaul gave Merav to David, and then afterwards he gives her to Adriel. Michal, Shaul gave to David and then gave to Palti ben Laish. But here the pasuk talks about Michal having children with Adriel. So Rabbi Yossi didn't understand. V'chil Adriel nasna v'aloi l'Palti ben Laish nasna. V'chsev v'shaul nasna as Michal bitoi. Eish es David l'Palti ben Laish. Elo, you know, pshan in this pasuk, he said, Rabbi Yossi, ma'akish kedushin Merav l'Adriel, kedushin Michal l'Palti. We compare the kedushin between Merav and Adriel to the kedushin between Michal l'Palti. Ma'akish Michal l'Palti b'avera. Just like when Michal married Palti, he married a b'avera. What does it mean it was b'avera? Because really, Michal was David's wife. It was Shaul that was Nasan as Michal Bita Yeshus David, the Palti Ben Laish Asher Megalim. But Michal was not allowed to be married to Palti. Af Kedusha Merav L'Adriel Bavera. That's Rabbi Yossi's Raya. That Merav wasn't allowed to be married to Adriel either. If Merav's not allowed to be married to Adriel, it means that Merav is married to David. That's how Rabbi Yossi knows that really David is married to Merav. He's not only married to Michal, he was married to Michal, and he was married to Merav. Says the Gemara of Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha, Nami Yoksiv es Chameshes ben Michal Bashal. How does Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha learn that pasuk? Rabbi Yeshua is going to tell you, V'chi Michal Yolda, that whole pasuk, in general, doesn't make sense. Then Michal gave birth, Vale Merav Yolda, really it was Merav that gave birth to those children. But rather, Merav Yolda, Michal Gidla, Merav is the one that gave birth to the children. Michal raised the children, Lefichach Nikru Al Shma, and that's why the Pasuk refers to it as if Michal is really the mother of the children. So how do you understand that pasuk? That pasuk that seems to say that Michal had children with Adriel, Merav is the one that had children with Adriel. It's true. Merav is the one that had the children, but Michal raised the children. And someone's megadol yosim b'toich beisoy male olav akasov keilu yalde chanina kra yoichanan v'ishtay alazig ula shmul b'limudei simin. We're not finished. Rabbi Chanina said that I agree with this idea that someone that's megadol yosim b'yosim b'toich beisoy. But he learned it from a different pasuk. He learned it from Rus. After Rus had a child, with Boaz. So people started talking that Yulad ben Lanami. Nami had a son. Frank the Gemara, Nami Yolda. Nami's not the one that had the son. Vale Rus Yolda. Rus is the one that had the son. Ella Rus Yolda. Rus had the child. Then Nami Givor, Nami raised the child. That's why it's considered as if Nami is really the one that had the child. From here. Vishtaya Yehudas Yolda as Yered Avigdar. Elu bnei Basya Baspare. Ashalokach Meret. Says the Gemara. Mered in that pasuk is referring to Kalev. Why was Kalev called Mered? Shemorad batzas miraglim. He rebelled against the miraglim. The problem is that pasuk over there has Basya being the mother of Moshe Rabbeinu. So v'chi Basya Yolda? Did Basya give birth to Moshe Rabbeinu? V'aloi Yecheved Yolda. Yecheved is the one that gave birth to Moshe Rabbeinu. Elo Yecheved Yolda. Yecheved is the one that gave birth to her. U'Basya Gidla. Basla raised Moshe Rabbeinu, as we all know. Lefichach Nikra al Shema. That's why the Pasuk refers to it as if, but the Pasuk over there says that Kolev was married to Basya Baspara. And the Pasuk says that Basi Baspari is the mother of Moshe. Basi is not the mother of Moshe. Yecheved is the mother of Moshe. Yecheved gave birth to Moshe. Basi raised Moshe. Kala Megadol Yosan V'Yosayim B'Teich Beisai Ma'al Olav HaKosov Ki'ilu Yodr. B'lo Zamem Yehachem. Let's learn it from a different Pasuk. Ga'alta Bezroyam Amecho B'nei Yaakov V'Yosef Selah. V'chi Yosef Yolad V'le Yaakov Yolad. It's referring to Klal Yisrael. As if Yosef is the father of Klal Yisrael. It's Avram Yitzchak. More Yaakov, because Yaakov is the one who actually had the Shvatim. Yosef, when did Yosef become the father of Klal Yisrael? Ella Yaakov Yolad. The Yosef Kilkel, Yosef supported Klal Yisrael for those years in the Mitzrayim. Lefichach Nikra Shmoy, that's why Yosef gets credit as if he is the father of Klal Yisrael. Amar Rab Shmuel Bar Nachman, Amar Rab Yonasan. So we mentioned that someone that raises a Yosef V'Yosayim V'Tech Pesoy, it's as if he gave birth. Said Rab Shmuel Bar Nachman, in the name of Rab Yonasan, is another person who, even though he didn't physically give birth to a particular child, it can be considered as if he gave birth to that child. And who is that? A Rebbe. Kala Melami ben Chaveri Torah, someone that teaches his friend's son Torah, Ma'alu Olav HaKosav Kilu Yolda. Shenemar, the Pasuk says, Ve'elu told us Aaron Moshe, Viksiv, and then it says, Ve'elu Shmois ben Aharon. So the Pasuk says, I'm going to tell you now the names of the children of Aharon and Moshe. And then the Pasuk only mentions the children of Aharon. We didn't mention the children of Moshe. Loi Malacha, Vaistois, that even the children of Aharon were the children of Moshe. Why? Aharon Yolad. Aharon gave birth to them, but Moshe Lime, Moshe taught them Torah, Lefichach, Nikro, Al Shemai. These are ideas that we've spoken about so many times, but again, it's getting late. Lachain, another pasuk. Koyam Hashem Beis Yaakov, Ashepada Es Avram. V'chihecha Matzino BeYaakov Shepada LaAvram. Interesting pasuk. The pasuk talks about Yaakov Avinu redeeming Avram. Yaakov bailed out of Avram. Yaakov bailed out of Avram. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Shepada Mitzar Gidol Banim. Yeah, you know where he bailed him out from? Tzar Gidol Banim. The Avos HaKedoshim, we're going to have 12 sons. The 12 Shvatim. Avram didn't have the 12 sons. Yitzchak didn't have the 12 sons. Yaakov did. And it's as if Yaakov somehow took one for the team. He bailed out Avram and Yitzchak by him being the father of the Shvatim. Hainu d'chsiv le'ata yevash Yaakov. That Yaakov, you don't have to be embarrassed. Le'ata yevash Yaakov me'aviv. Don't be embarrassed from your father. V'le'ata panav yechfar. Your face doesn't have to turn white out of embarrassment. Na'vi aviv. From your grandfather. Why would you think Yaakov should be embarrassed? Because usually there's the Yeridus Adaris, which would imply that Yitzchak wasn't as great as Avram, and Yaakov wasn't as great as Yitzchak. So Yaakov, although he's one of the three others, he could be a little embarrassed because he looks at his father. He was greater than me. My grandfather was even greater, says the Pasuk. No, Yaakov, you have nothing to be embarrassed of. Because you did something that your father and your grandfather didn't do. You were minded, shifteka. You were the one that had the Tzar Gidol Banim. And it's for that reason that you don't have anything to be embarrassed of. So going back to the story of David and Shaul and Michal and Merav and Adriel and Palti. So he said that David married first Merav Bashal. He was a Mekadosh B'Milva. It wasn't a real Kiddushin. That's why Shaul was able to take Merav afterwards and give her to Adriel. And then David marries Michal Bashal. Now that was already a controversial marriage. Shaul thought it was a Kiddushin Tois. He thought it was a Mekadosh B'Milva, Milva Upruta, Daita Milva. David thought it was a real Kiddushin. And David is married to Michal, their husband and wife. And then one day, Shaul gets up and he takes Michal, his beloved daughter, away from David, and he gives her to Palti ben Laish. And under strict orders from the king, he tells Palti, you are my new son-in-law. Not David. David's not married her. I want you to be married her. Says
the Gemara.
Palti ben Laish held like David. He also was of the opinion, he knew that really Michal was David's wife. So if Michal is David's wife, Palti is not allowed to live with Michal. Now he was told by the king, he was instructed that he doesn't have a choice. He needs to live in the same house, the same bedroom with a woman that's not his wife. And he's forced to live with her. But he can't really live with her because she's an Eishes Ish. Says the Gemara now, phenomenal Agada the Gemara that we're going to conclude with. Ksiv Palti, the Pasuk in right here, Shmuel Aleph Chafhei, refers to Palti with the name Palti. For Ksiv, but he's mentioned somewhere else, and over there he's mentioned not Palti, as Paltil. That's in Shmuel Beis, Perek Gimel, Pasuk. It's the same person. Paltiel ben Laish. So was it Paltiel? Was it Paltiel? Omer Rabbi Yechon and Palti Shmei. His name was Paltiel. And the Shmei Paltiel. So Paltiel came in Aver because he had tremendous siyata de Shmaya. Hashem was so good to him. He was kind to him. He allowed him to overcome the Avera. The Avera of living in the same house with a woman that's not his wife. He never did an Avera with her. Ma also, what did he do to prevent the Avera? No, it's Cherbin. He took a sword and he stuck it in the ground between him and his wife. Omer, he said, Kolo Isik Bedover. Say anyone that's nichshal in this Avera, Yudoka b'cherev zeh is going to be killed. And that's how he protected himself. Says the Gemara, really? Did Palti really think that he wasn't Michal's husband? Meaning they never lived like husband and wife. But the Pasuk says, Vayelech ito isha. The Pasuk describes them as husband and wife. Shenas lokish. They may believe they were husband and wife, but really they were never husband and wife. V'ksibet, the Pasuk says, Halachu v'achai. Afterwards, David's going to remarry Michal. You know what's going on? Michal's married to David. Shaul takes Michal from David, gives her to Palti ben Laish. They're together for years. No avera ever takes place. And then afterwards, David gets Michal back. And it says that when David got Michal back, Palti ben Laish was crying. So it sounds like he must have lived with her. They must have been husband and wife. If they weren't married anyways, she's just this great Nisoyan, then why would he have cried? Says the Gemara, he cried because of this mitzvah that he no longer was going to have. He had this unbelievable mitzvah that he's doing every day. Now he doesn't have the mitzvah anymore. Ad Bachurim, what does the Pasuk mean when it talks about Palti and Michal? Ad Bachurim, Shenasa Shem Ki Bachurim, Shaloi Tamu Tambi, they never did an Aver. Omer Rabbi Yechon. Rabbi Yechon commented, as he did on so many Gemaras. Rabbi Yechon very often would hear a story, and he would comment on the Sanusa Shrub Schari ben Afkulas Hechrim Beis Hamikdash. Right, that was Rabbi Yechon. Rabbi Yechon in so many places, he heard something, and he said, he was Nisragish. Rabbi Yechon was Nisragish from this Gemara right here. Said Rabbi Yechon, Toikvay Shal Yosef, the godless of Yosef HaTzadik, what Yosef HaTzadik did with Ishas Paitifar, he overcame the Desayim, and the Sanusa Shal Bayas is a davar katan compared to what Bayas did. But toikvay shal Bayas, what Bayas did, am v'sanusa shal Palti ben Laish, is small compared to what Palti ben Laish did. Toikvay shal Yosef, am v'sanusa shal Bayas, d'chsev ahi b'chatzi ha'layla v'yechad ish v'yilofes. Right, we all know the story of Yosef. But what did Bayas do? Because when Rus wants Bayas to be miyabim her, so she goes in the middle of the night and she exposes herself and lies next to Bayas. Vayilofes, the Pasuk says. Bayas wakes up in the middle of the night, he feels this woman next to her. Vayilofes. Amar Rav Shenasu Besoroi Kiroshe Lavoses. Rashi says, what does Besoroi mean? Aver, the Aver Ataiva. He got hard like a lefes. He got scared and he had this unbelievable Yetzahara, Taiva, to do an Avera, and he was able to overcome it. And that was greater, it was greater than what Yosef did. But Toikvay Shal Bayas, as great as what Bayas did by overcoming that Yetzahara, it was on the Sunusa, it was small compared to Palti ben Laish, Kedamara. Says the Marshal, why? Because what Palti ben Laish did was every single day. For years, he lives with this woman, day in, day out, day in, day out. That was greater than what Yosef did. It was greater than what Boaz did. Amr Rabbi Yechon, Maitik said, what's the Pasuk? It says, Rabbis banos asu chayol, va'atol isal kulon. We all know the Pasuk. Rabbis banos asu chayol, say Yosef, u Boaz, va'atol isal kulon, is a Palti ben Laish. That what Palti ben Laish did was greater than what Yosef did and what Boaz did. Amr Rabbi Shmuel Menachem, Amr Rabbi Yechon, Maitik said, Shekhar Achim, Hevel HaYoyfi. Shekhar Achim, say Yosef, the Hevel HaYoyfi is a Boaz. Yiras Hashem, it is Salah, is a Palti ben Laish. Dover Achar, Shekhar Achim, say Dorish al Moshe. The Hevel HaYoyfi is a Dorish al Yeshua. Two great generations. But Yiras Hashem, it is Salah, is a Dorish al Chizkiyo. The Dor of Chizkiyo, Chizkiyo's generation. People were more learned than the generation of Moshe and the generation of Yeshua. Dover Achar, Shekhar Achim, say Dorish al Moshe, the Yeshua. The Hevel HaYoyfi is a Dorish al Chizkiyo. Yiras Hashem, it is Salah, is a Dorish from Yudab Rabbi Loi. The greatest generation wasn't Moshe, wasn't Yeshua, wasn't even Chizkiyo. It was the generation of Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Loi, Amru all of Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Loi, She Yeshisha Talmidim Eskasim Betalis Achas, Va'uskim Betari, that six people would get together. They were so poor, They didn't even have a talus. And six people would crouch, they'd grab it together and learn Torah b'teich tachlis, and that's greater than the door of Moshe, the door of Yehoshua, and the door of Chizkiyah. But before we conclude, just three short ha'aris, regarding this whole story. Number one. So Shaul gives Michal Bashal to David, and then takes her away, gives it to Palti ben Laish. They live together for so many years. They live together, Be'avera, but they don't live. Palti ben Laish goes down as being greater than Yosef with Eishes Potiphar and greater than Boaz with Rus. And after many years of going through this Nisayon, David takes Michal back. The Rajba was asked in a tshuva that he doesn't understand how David was able to remarry Michal. How did he know that Michal didn't do an Aver? And if Michal would have done an Aver, she's an Ishes Ish, that's Mizane Tachas Bayil. I mean, it was so unlikely that they would be able to overcome this Nisayon to the point that the Gemara says it's the greatest thing that ever happened. There's no one that goes down in history as overcoming the Yetzirah in a greater way than Palti. So how could David HaMelech? So they told him, they believed. How in the world could, says the Rajba, a Dover Pella. He says, David HaMelech had Ruach HaKodesh. And David HaMelech knew Beruach HaKodesh that an Avera never happened. Freak the Chida and the Birke Yosef. Ruach HaKodesh, we know you can't paskin Shailas based on Avua, based on Eliyahu HaNavi. Ain't Navi Rashoi L'Chadish. Torah's Loi B'Shamayimi. So this is Torah Loi B'Shamayimi. How can you use Ruach HaKodesh to impact Halacha? Right, if a Navi comes and he says that I know the Halacha. The Halacha is like Beishal, not Beishamah, it's like Ramei and Ramei. We don't listen to him. Because Torah is Loi B'Shamayim. So if Torah is Loi B'Shamayim, so freak the Chidah, this Raj was a Pella. David HaMelech is using Ruach HaKodesh to be able to go ahead and marry. By the way, in that piece of the Chidah, it's an Erechaim Simon Lamed Beis, a long shtickle if you want to look it up. So he brings over there a kashya from Rabbeinu Bezalel. I think he's referring to Rabbeinu Bezalel Ashkenazi, the Baal Shita Mekubetzes, the Rebbe of Arizal. But he brings Rabbeinu Bezalel, asks the kashya that you find in Shas. The Gemara says Teiku. What does Teiku mean? Tishbi Yataritz Kushis Ve'Aboyes. Eliyahu HaNavi is going to tell us the answer. So yes, we know that Miram had Gilui Eliyahu. So if Tamiram, the Rebbe said Gilui Eliyahu. So if Tamiram had Gilui Eliyahu, so how come we don't find anywhere that Tamiram would ask Eliyahu HaNavi? Eliyahu HaNavi, we have a kasha, we have a teiku. Kav Barbamis, right? The first Amid in Perigel Metzias. All the takers throughout Shas. Kav Shum Shumin. So why did they say, Eliyahu, what's the halacha? Every fifth grader wants to know. Teiku. So tell us. Good kasha. Doesn't bring a teretz. But either way, says Freik, the Chida, again, Torah is Leib HaShemayim. So if Torah is Leib HaShemayim, how could David HaMelech have used Ruach HaKodesh? Says the Chida, a big Chiddush, the Inkam HaKoyim HaLaharach, he says he must say that when we say Torah is Leib HaShemayim, it means if the Navi wants to tell you the halacha. Navi can't tell you the halacha. He can't say the halacha is like Ramea, not like Rabbi Yehuda. It's like Abaya, not like Rava. But over here, the Navi, the Ruach HaKodesh, wasn't telling me halacha. It was being Megala Ametzius. It was telling me what happened. To tell me what happened, that's something you could do. Big chiddush from the Chida, it's a Birkei Yosef Erechayim Simon Lamed Beis. That's the first car. The second car is, I saw in Ben Yoyada. Ben Yoyada says that the Gemara says that what Palti ben Laish did was greater than what Yosef HaTzadik did. He says, but the truth is, it's true on a level that what Palti ben Laish did was every single day. For years and years and years and years and years. But if you think about the Eichos of what Yosef HaTzadik did, qualitatively, Yosef HaTzadik's Nisayon was a greater Nisayon than Palti. When you think about Yosef HaTzadik, sold by his brothers in a strange land, I once heard from someone, he said that he saw a Bible critic, said that the Torah can't be emes, because the Maisa with Yosef HaTzadik couldn't have happened. Not possible. This Baal Taiva could not comprehend how it was possible that Yosef HaTzadik would have overcame such a Yetzirah. This is something he couldn't make sense of. He couldn't come to terms with it. No way. 17 years old, he's in a foreign land. His family threw him under the bus. He's trying to work his way up. He's clearly intelligent. And Eishes Potiphar, he knows that what's the other option? To be thrown into some third world country prison, which is eventually what happens. And he was able to overcome the sign. So the Eichos, right, the Zohar Kodesh says that Yosef HaTzadik gave off 10 tipin of Zera. Maybe came out through his fingernails. But 10 tipim of Zerah came out because he couldn't overcome his Yetzirah. And that's why there was Sarah Ruge Malchus. And that's the Tifkat in Rabbi Yochanan who said, Anob Mizara de Yosef Ka'asina. Rabbi Yochanan lost 10 sons. Anob Mizara de Yosef Ka'asina. Because he was a descendant of Yosef HaTzadik. And to be Mechaper on the 10 tipim of Zerah Levatolo, he needed to lose his 10 sons. And he said, Mizaru de Yosef Kosino, not me Yosef Kosino. Because it's because of the Zera of Yosef. Unbelievable Dvarim, the Flam, Gadim Chadashim, Brachas, Tafei, we've spoken about all this rate. But the bottom line is that there's no question that Nesoyin of Eishes Patifa was the greatest Nesoyin of all time. Why is Palti Ben Laish go down as overcoming a, because what he did was every day. So I was thinking, maybe this is a Tzushtot, Rav Yosef Engels Chakiro. Reva Kamus versus Reva Eichos. Quality versus quantity in Halacha. We've had this hashtag many times. Quality versus quantity in Halacha. Right? Quality or quantity? In Halacha. What's more? So we always speak out two rayas. One we always speak out, we pass like Basil over Beshame. Because Basil was the Rav. But the Gemara says in Yevamos at the end of the first parak that Beshame was Mechadri Tvei. They were bigger Lamdonim. So Basil was quantity. Beshame was quality. And what's the Halacha? Quantity versus quality. Another Marmakim we always speak out is Dechia. Asay is not doicha lois asay sheyesh bekaris, but an asay is doicha tu lavin. Tu lavin is quantity. Lois asay sheyesh bekaris is quality. So you see that it's quality versus quantity. Because asay is not doicha quality, but asay is doicha quantity. It could be this is also quantity over quality. Palti ben Laish is quantity. Yosef Eishes Patifar is quality. And who goes down as being bigger? Shek Rechem Hevel HaYofi Iris Hashem Yitzal Rabbi Yisbanu Zasa Chayu Vatal Nisal Kulonu. Who's the Vatal Nisal Kulonu? So Palti Ben Laish. Why? Quantity. You see, quantity versus quality. That's the second R. And just to conclude with this, it's Yedua. The Reb Chaim Shmulevitz said, beautiful Gemara. Oh, Amid, packed. But he says, I don't understand the story. Palti Ben Laish was just instructed by the king that you have to live with Michal Bashal. And Eisha says, she's married to David HaMelech. And they're going to have to live together for many, many years. And Palti realized, it's not going to be easy. And Palti says, how am I going to overcome my Yetzahara? So you know what he did? He had an Yetzah. He had what they call today a patent. He took a cheref, he stuck it in the ground between him and Michal. And he said, whoever crosses this line, you duck the cheref. So, Freit, Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, who knew about this? Two people, Palti and Michal. So why couldn't they sit together one day? I won't tell if you don't tell. Take the cherev, very conveniently, chuck it, do the Avera, and what would be the issue? What was this pikchis of Palti ben Laish? No, it's cherev, no, it's a big deal. Just like they stuck the cherev in, they can take the cherev out, and that'll be the end of the whole story. Reb Chaim Shmulevitz gezok the dove naira. He said, of course, obviously, if they really wanted to take the cherev and throw it away, they could have thrown it away. That wasn't the point. You know what the point was? Palti is told now he has to marry this Eishes Ish. And Palti realizes this is not going to be easy. This is going to be tough. But I'm going to overcome my Yetzirah. He had this unbelievable inspiration. He had this incredible Hesiris. But you know what happens? Very often people have inspiration. I'm going to do this. I'm going to start Daf Yomi. I'm going to become a different person. And then it wanes. You know, lasts. Like Shlomo Salanter used to say, that if my Musa Shmuz lasts for the Meiriv that follows the Shmuz, and you daven a little bit of a better Shmuz, that's a Shoshan Galayt. But sometimes it doesn't take you past that. You have inspiration to do something. It could be professionally. It could be in 9 million different ways. But you lose it. It ends up waning. And Palti didn't want that to happen. So you know what he did? He bottled the inspiration. He did something that would serve as a constant reminder for that inspiration that he had. So not Tzcheret Beinoy Leveno. And he said, just like right now, we're prepared to take this sword and stick it in our chest, not to be over this Avera. I want this cherev to be a constant reminder that in a year from now, in 2 years from now, a shvach moment, like the chassidim say, if I'm going to feel overcome, but I can't control myself. In a shvach moment, remember the cherev. Remember you were prepared to literally take it at the stake, not to do an Avera. This would serve as a reminder of the hisiris that they want.